Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to start today with State Representative Diana DeSoglio. She was shut down after trying to speak out about how Beacon Hill handles sexual harassment cases. Now, DeSoglio represents Methuen, Lawrence, and Haverhill today. But back in 2011, she was a Beacon Hill aide for then-State Rep Paul Adams. DeSoglio was 27 at the time. Again, this is 2011. And then she got caught up in the Beacon Hill rumor mill, really false and vicious rumors about her and another state rep. And because of those rumors, people harassed her, they propositioned her, they created a generally hostile environment. DeSoglio was subsequently fired. Yes, the woman who was harassed got fired. She was offered a small severance package, but in order to receive it, DeSoglio was told that she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
I did not want to sign it at the time, and I actually remember struggling for days with the decision because I really was disturbed by the fact that I was being silenced. I had been silenced the entire time that I was working in the building, and I thought, you know, at least if I'm moving on now, I'll finally have an opportunity to address some of the things that have been being said. And, you know, let me be clear, I'm in politics, so people talk all the time. You know, my issue is with the fact that other people's chatter and other people's solicitations to me and other people's name-calling had led to my wrongful termination. And then I, instead of being able to discuss that and to talk about what was happening and to respond, I was told that I needed to be quiet.
Okay, so let me ask you, when you chose to share this story, to talk about it in the House last week, were you in violation of the terms of the NDA or has it expired?
I was in complete violation of the terms.
Well, this brings us to the present, to 2018, to what I was referring to, something that happened last week. Remember, DeSoglio was a legislative aide back in 2011, but she's a state rep now. And last week, the Massachusetts House debated amendments to a bill designed to improve the treatment of sexual harassment victims at the state house itself. DeSoglio, on Thursday, rose to tell her story and to advocate for an amendment that would ban the use of NDAs on Beacon Hill. House Speaker Robert DeLeo had left the chamber just before DeSoglio began speaking. But as she did, she was interrupted repeatedly and even pulled aside once by House Speaker Pro Tem Pat Haddad. Here's one of those moments.
I tried to do my job, hoping it would eventually be over and that some other story would come up that was more interesting than mine. And that
Chair apologizes to the gentle lady at the microphone. Chair will be in a brief recess. Chair recognizes Ms. DeSoglio of Methuen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to continue to tell my story because it does pertain to the issue at hand.
Now, that brief recess was actually about a minute long. We trimmed down the silence of that. But what did she say to you when she pulled you over?
Speaker Pro Tem asked me to essentially get to the point and speak on the amendment.
The specific amendment and not tell your story?
She didn't directly ask me to stop telling my story, but she did tell me that she was going to have to gavel me if I didn't get to the point and start speaking on the amendment.
And what was your reaction to that?
That I was speaking on the amendment and that my story, my experience was imperative. It was imperative that I told my experience in order to explain why we needed to adopt the amendment.
This seems so utterly bizarre that we're talking about trying to fix a culture of tolerance for sexual harassment in Beacon Hill, and when a female representative tries to tell her story about how she had been silenced before, it seems as if you were being silenced all over again. I mean, is that too strong a reading?
I'm not concerned about, you know, the dynamics on the floor and how I was impacted by them. I am, I've been working in this body for 6 years now, and, you know, it's nothing new. But what I will say is that what concerned me the most is the message that was sent by what happened in the chamber that day. You know, the number one fear of people coming forward and telling what happened to them is first that people won't believe them. But it's second that they'll be retaliated against. And I think that you know, in the membership that House leadership didn't do anything to, you know, improve that situation and to encourage people to come forward, which was the intent of the legislation in the first place. And the legislation that we passed was a tremendous and great step in the right direction. And I'm very proud of the legislation that we passed. I think it will go a long way to help victims to feel that they can come forward and speak about what happened. But, you know, the political culture on Beacon Hill has a long way to go.
So can I ask you a little bit more about that? Because it does, some people reacting to what happened to you as just seeing the terrible irony of female colleagues of yours in the House maybe not supporting you in the way that others would like to see. I mean, can you blame them? Because it seems as if so much of a person's political career on Beacon Hill really depends on being in the good graces of leadership there. I mean, I'm thinking specifically House leadership with Speaker DeLeo.
Well, I can't comment on what others did that day, have done in the past, or continue to do. I think that that's something that's a question for the people that you have questions about. But what I can say is that, you know, I came forward not to seek vengeance on anybody. I said very clearly, I'm not looking for any money. I don't want a lawsuit here. Nobody's going to go to trial about this. But my concern is for the young men and women in that building that do not have my platform and may be experiencing the same thing or much worse, much, much worse than what I experienced. And they don't have the platform that I have to be able to address this. So it was imperative that I came forward and just said, hey, you know, this is something that in the past may have been mishandled, not because of malintent or not because anybody was trying to mishandle it, but, you know, there wasn't a process in place back then. We've learned. We're moving forward. We're implementing a process. But as part of that process, we need to look at the use of NDAs.
Yeah. So I'm going to get back to that in a moment because it's really important. But one more point about what happened on Thursday, because most of your colleagues knew that you were going to speak about this because Yvonne Abraham in The Globe had written an article last week about it. And that's why the noted absence in the chamber of Speaker DeLeo during your speech was so interesting. And in fact, we have a little bit more tape here. This is Representative Angelo Scascia during the same debate over the amendment that you were proposing about the use of NDAs. And again, Speaker DeLeo had handed the gavel to Pat Haddad, and Representative Scascia was calling out the speaker's absence.
Mr. Speaker, where are you? Come out. Come out of your office and cheer.
Chair apologizes to the gentleman at the microphone. He is not speaking on the amendment.
Oh, thank you, Madam Speaker, for telling me about that.
We're talking about leadership. We're talking about trying to effect a major culture change in Beacon Hill. I mean, what did you make of the fact that Speaker DeLeo wasn't in the chamber during all that?
Again, I can't speak to his actions.
But what did you think about it? I mean, yeah, I'm going to ask him if he agrees to in an interview, but...
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. It was no different than, you know, the norm. But I will say that I was so focused on trying to get to be able to speak and trying to be recognized on the House floor to talk about the importance of the amendment and the issue that I wanted to earn the support of my colleagues on, that it honestly didn't really faze me that the speaker was not in attendance on the House floor that day. That was, a side issue that wasn't my focus. Yeah. My focus was getting the attention on the issue to make sure that we had important provisions included in this bill during, you know, what I believe to be one of the only opportunities that we're going to be able to make these changes. It was very, very important to me that we talked about this, that we made sure that we heard all sides, and that, you know, we were able to move some of these important issues forward.
Now, about NDAs and the use of NDAs on Beacon Hill, Speaker DeLeo has said that since the 1st of January 2010 that there were 33 NDAs signed, but that none of them, he says, were to settle complaints or related to complaints about sexual harassment. Now, yours was signed on September 2011, so it would seem to include that. I mean, the speaker's saying that since there's no language in the NDA specifically about sexual harassment, that the NDAs don't apply to that.
And that's why I filed the amendment the way that I did. You know, there was some concern that victims might actually want to sign an NDA, and certainly we hear those concerns. My concern in not addressing the issue of NDAs across the board and only pertaining specifically to matters of sexual harassment, which was what the speaker's language had added in to my version of the bill with his own version of the bill that I drafted. My concern with that is that these documents don't specifically say what they are for, whether it be, you know, discrimination against somebody based on the color of their skin, a disability. We talk about the LGBTQ community, whatever it is, that's not included within the language of these NDAs. So you wouldn't know whether it was sexual harassment, whether it was discrimination, or whether it was something else. You wouldn't know that. So it was very important to me to try to highlight that aspect of the issue.
I'm not sure of any NDA I've heard that's ever that specific. Like, it's more sort of general, like you can't talk about the terms of your termination, that kind of thing.
And that's why they're able to be used in such an abusive manner.
Which makes me wonder, I mean, that's why I feel like politics is being played here right now. You're a representative, and I know that maybe there's things you feel like you can and can't say. I'm speaking from the point of view of a citizen of the Commonwealth looking at what's going on Beacon Hill, and I'm saying, well, if the speaker wants to put in language in an amendment that says an NDA has to say specifically sexual harassment, well, literally none of them ever will, so what's the point?
So that was the issue that I kept trying to raise, but was not being recognized multiple times to be able to say. I did eventually get to say some of the points that I wanted to say. Here's what I'll say is this, you know, to say that none exist is to say that I'm not telling the truth. And I think that that's problematic because what it says to other young men and women who are working in that building is that if they come forward, they might not be believed. Mm. I also offer this question, you know, if you say somebody was terminated wrongfully and you agree, which the speaker's office did, that my termination was wrongful.
Why have you signed an NDA at all?
Well, if it was wrongful, what was wrong about the termination if it's not what I'm saying, number one? And number two, why have only 33 people had to sign non-disclosure and non-disparagement agreements in order to get their severance pay, when there have been many, many more people fired in the course of the last 9 years? You know, it's not part of the process that if you get fired, you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement immediately. That's not how the business goes there. And speaking of business, it was also said, you know, that non-disclosure agreements are just part of doing business. I fundamentally disagree with that statement on so many levels, but I'll just stick to one point right now. I just want to remind everybody, this is not a private business.
This is a public servant.
This is not a private business. People have disagreements about private contracts, and that's a completely different debate for another day. This is the people's business where public tax dollars are being used. We owe it to the public to do everything we can to make sure that the misdeeds of politicians or their staff are not being covered up by the abuse of non-disclosure agreements.
Well, State Representative Diana DeZoglio of Methuen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we should note that the House did pass its bill on improving the procedures for handling sexual harassment complaints at the State House. It includes an amendment that says the only time non-disclosure agreements can now be used is if they're requested by victims. We also put out several requests to hear from House Speaker Robert DeLeo. He couldn't join us today. His office, though, did send us a statement, which includes the following, quote, "We believe Representative DeZoglio's statements regarding the harassment she experienced in April 2011, and we are deeply troubled by them. No member, officer, or employee of the House of Representatives should be subjected to the sort of treatment described by Representative DeZoglio." However, DeLeo's statement also says, quote, "DeZoglio's attorney never raised the issue of sexual harassment or inappropriate conduct during the negotiations which led to her termination and severance agreement. While we understand why a victim of such harassment would fear disclosing it, we have to reject any assertion that we were aware of it prior to Thursday or that we sought to silence her and or to cover up any harassment with the 2011 agreement." Well, we look forward to speaking with the speaker on the program soon about this and many other issues. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.